You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. And what he makes is always good. Always good. I'm trying to figure out how this can go. So, yesterday I explained the difference between the natural human faith and the God kind of faith, meaning the faith of God. Now, faith is important because, you know, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Again, it's not written that God doesn't love us when we don't exercise our faith. But the Bible says that it extremely pleases him because it gives him an opportunity to literally invade the earth. And God is looking to overcome the curse. God is looking for people that will dare to believe him. And it's not necessary for ourselves. Some people say, well, I don't need anything. You know, it's amazing, but this whole earth is just not only about you. And we are to be a blessing to others, not only to believe to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And, you know, the day before I was walking back to the hotel and, you know, coming from this place, you can see that this area of London, off of London, is the curse is working here. And, you know, it bothers me. It really bothers me. Because I see precious people who have a destiny. They are loved, so loved by God. They just don't know how to live. They don't know. They, you know, probably don't have the consciousness of God. And if they are saved, basically except, you know, being saved from hell and maybe having their sins forgiven, there is not much they know about how to live their Christian life, how to live in an atmosphere of heaven. And friends, this must change. So as I was walking there, I really was bothered. I thought, Lord, there is no reason why they would live in a place like that. Why they would have this, you know, these cars in front of their house, why they would have their gardens, you know, just like that. There is no reason. It was like nothing is nice to look at. I don't see God, but I see the devil working here. And it bothers me. It just bothers me. So I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm going to use my faith. And I prayed. And I believe this area is going to change. I believe, because this is only what we can see. But if the outside is like that, think about how is the inside. Think how people, you know, what you see outside reflects what's inside. It's either, you know, balance, life, or it's death and confusion. Think about the children being raised in these houses. So we can and we must use God's kind of faith to put a stop and limit to the curse. The curse is still on this earth. As born-again Christian, we are blessed. We have been redeemed. We heard the teaching. One part of us, the most important, as a spirit being, we are born again. We have been renewed, made new again. We are working on our soul to renew it, to renew the way we think, to line it up with heaven. And it takes some efforts. Only the Word of God can help us, you know, think as heaven. And our body is made of this earth. So our body, we must fight the curse that is on this earth in our body. That's what sickness is about. You know, and when we believe God with a God kind of faith, is to say, no, that curse that is on earth is not coming on my body. I refuse it in the name of Jesus. But we must do it for others. And Jesus came on earth. It was not for himself. It was for others. Well, we cannot do that with our natural human faith. That faith that only believes what the five senses will say. You know, the eyes and the ears and, you know, sometimes people say, well, I cannot do that job because, you know, I don't believe I'm made for that. If God told you that you can do it, you can do it. It doesn't matter which kind of school certificate you saw, what people said of you, it just doesn't matter. You know, we must acknowledge that human faith, we were raised in it. So yes, if I look at this area of Dagenheim, you know, my eyes see poverty, my eyes see confusion, my eyes see the curse, my eyes see, you know, lack of wisdom, poverty, everything. And if I believe that God will change this place according to what I see, I cannot believe that. My human faith stops there. So I must use another kind of faith, and thank God I have it. As a born again Christian, I have it. I remind you, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's not a measure, it's the measure of faith, the measure that was given to Jesus. Jesus came to show us how to live. He was not only, you know, he didn't only come as a man who loved God, as a man who was nice to others. He showed us how a human being should and could live on earth. This earth should have been the reflection of heaven. Because of sin, you know, it didn't turn out that way. But wherever a born-again man or woman is, where we are, it can carry and it must carry the atmosphere of heaven. Our house, because we are born again, when people come and visit us, they have a touch of heaven. They should experience the atmosphere of heaven. When people come to church, there is something about heaven that they should maybe smell, see, hear certainly, you know, touch. There is something because we live there already, but it's not enough. Earth must experience it. Well, this can be done only by that measure of God's faith that we have received. I want to show you an example of somebody because we hear a lot about a man. Look at me to Judge chapter 6. Judge chapter 6. You heard about Gideon. There is no S at the end. And Gideon. Okay, Gideon. Seems so much easier. And Gideon was part of a tribe of Israel. And he was in a small tribe that was not in, you know, among the tribes of Israel, mounting up too much. And the Lord picked him up and said, you see all the enemies that are surrounding you, the Madianites. He said, I want to use you to set your people free. I want to use you to change the atmosphere in Dagenham. I want to use you to make the business where you work prosper. I want to use you to release the rivers of life to the sick people on your job, in your family. And Gideon heard the will of God, as we know the will of God, we are taught. Gideon heard what the plan of God, what God wanted to do, but not only through the pastor, it was through him. Gideon had a very interesting reaction. Let's look in verse 36 through 40. Gideon said to God, if you use my hands to save Israel, if you use my hands to save the area where I live, as you have said, I'm placing a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and all of the ground remains dry, then I will know that you will save Israel with my hands, as you have said. So it happened. He looked up early the next morning and squeezed the fleece. Enough dew poured out of the fleece to fill a bowl full of water. And then Gideon said to God, Do not let your anger burn against me as I speak only one more time. Please let me perform a test with the fleece one more time. Please let the fleece be the only thing dry, and let there be dew on all of the ground. So God did this during the night. Only the fleece was dry, and the dew was of all the ground. Do you know that a lot of Christian, born-again Christian, maybe not in the UK, but in France, there is an army of them. They use that text to do God's plan. And what they do is exactly as the man said, Lord, okay, I hear your will, but, you know, I doubt your integrity. I doubt your choice. I doubt that you ask me. And what he said, Lord, don't you know I'm of the smallest tribe of Israel? And then he said, don't you know that among the smallest, I'm the poorest? Well, yes, you know, if you look according to your five senses, you say, God, you just missed it. So he asked for a sign to obey God. And what he did, he took the skin of a sheep and he put it out. He said, Lord, if you pour rain during the night, only on that, but all around is dried, I know it will be you. It means according to what I see, according to what my five senses are telling me, I will be able to obey you or not. You know that obedience to God is by faith. It cannot be by reasoning. It cannot be by screaming. It's by faith. But which kind of faith, since we are under the New Testament? God is not talking to human unrenewed spirit when he makes us know his will. He is talking to renewed spirit. We are brand new creature. And some Christians are trying to live a New Testament relationship with God with the Old Testament system. Gideon was not born again. Gideon was operating with natural faith, with the faith that believes what the five senses see, smell, touch, hear, etc. But for us, you know, some Christian has said, well, I get a sign from the Lord. If I get a sign from the Lord, then I will know it's him. You know, that's a fleece. And a lot of born-again Christians have been fleeced. You know why? You know why? Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that the God of this world, he can make up fleeces. The God of this world can give you signs if you don't want to walk by the God kind of faith. And lead us astray, lead us completely away from the will of God, lead us in confusion. That's the risk we are taking if we want to obey God with our natural faith. This is serious. Now, let's look at another example in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 24 and 29. You heard about Thomas. Thomas was not with the disciple when they saw the resurrected Jesus. So the disciples, they are so thrilled. You bet. I mean, you know, I can imagine that. They are so thrilled that when they all got together and Thomas was there that time, and they're sharing, we saw the Lord. The scriptures are fulfilled. He is truly the Messiah, and the kingdom of God is here. Well, it was not the visible kingdom of God as it could have happened if the Jewish would have accepted the Lord as their Messiah. Nevertheless, the Lord established the kingdom of God. Where did he establish the kingdom of God? He could not do it physically, as it was also a promise, but he still established the kingdom of God, and he did it in our hearts. The reign of God is in our hearts. So they come and they say, we have seen the resurrected Messiah. Verse 24. But Thomas was one of the 12, called the twin. He was not with them. It's not to miss a church meeting when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail prints in his hand and put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside with the doors shut, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, obviously, he skipped the other one and he went straight talking to Thomas. You can imagine that Thomas thought that, I don't know if it's an American expression of, or if in English you can get it, but he thought that he was a smarty pants. You understand that? He thought, you know, you don't impress me, you guys. You ate too much pizza or something like that, and I don't care what you all say. You know what? If you are surrounded by several strong Christians and 11 out of 12 said, we have seen the Lord, I mean, just let's face it, you dare to say, you know what? I'm going to tell you, you guys, unless I touch him, unless I use my five senses to believe what you say, unless my five senses agree with what you say, I will not believe you. So let's keep on. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. So touch, look. Obviously, he was hearing the resurrected Jesus. Put your hand here and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Now, Thomas heard about the good news of the resurrection, which was the scriptures fulfilled. Up till there, everything Jesus has said, even when he said, I've come to die, and in 3 days I will resurrect, even up to the resurrection he had not seen, all the scriptures pertaining to Jesus had been accomplished. Because all the scriptures pertaining to the coming of the Messiah, like Isaiah 53, like Isaiah 35, like all the, they had been fulfilled. But there was that one of the resurrection. And the others are bringing testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. And Thomas said something here. He said, I want to walk with my human faith. I must see, and my senses must tell me if it's believable or not. And Thomas here said something. He said, I will not believe. I mean, this is serious business. It means we can refuse to believe with our God kinds of faith. You said, why do you speak of God kind of faith? Because Thomas had seen Jesus operating miracles. He knew about that kind of faith that can believe without seeing, that can believe before seeing, that can believe in order to see the promise faithful. He knew he had walked with Jesus for 3 years and a half. He has seen Jesus demonstrating that kind of faith. When Jesus cursed the tree, he was there. And Jesus explained with what kind of faith he had done that. He was there, Thomas. But there he is. He backs up and he said, I will not live by that kind of faith, but I will live by my human natural faith. Heavy stuff. What has the Lord told you? Which kind of dream he gave you? What do we do with our kind of faith? Even though we have the God kind of faith, we still have a choice to use it or not. We still have a choice to put a demand on our human kind of faith. Well, Jesus was so good. He showed up. He did not rebuke him, you lousy thing, you know what, go to hell or something like that. He didn't say that. He said, okay, you want that? Okay, I'll give it to you. And he said, come, put your hand in my finger. You see, you hear me. And then Jesus said something very interesting. He said, Blessed are those who have not seen, but have yet believed. Jesus said there is more blessing with the God kind of faith than with your natural faith. Actually, our natural faith cannot take us to our destiny in God. Only with the God kind of faith. Only with the God kind of faith we can love people. Especially if you heard some nasty things. Only with the God kind of faith we can forgive something. Only with the God kind of faith we can change status in society. Only with the God kind of faith we can be the leader. I mean, look what that God kind of faith can do. You know, David was a shepherd. You know, have you seen a shepherd in the fields, especially in the Middle East? Not now with all the technology and, you know, they have. They almost put a GPS on every sheep of the flock. You know, we are not talking about that. We are talking about, you know, shepherd in the wilderness, in the time of David, in the Middle East. But he knew how to operate with trust in God. And it didn't matter what he saw. It didn't matter the rejection of his brothers when he was young and say, okay, you know, you're good enough to do this or do that. He did not operate by that. Because of his knowing of God, he knew that God is not a liar. And in spite of what his natural faith told him, he chose not to consider exactly what the kind of faith that Abraham and Sarah had, not to consider what their eyes were seeing, he was strong in the promise. You know, a lot of people are weak in the promise of God. They can't believe the promises of God. Well, what that tells you? Well, the promise is so much bigger, so big. That promise, you know, will take you to another part of town. Will increase by 100 your business. That promise will take your son from a drug addict to a strong father and a successful employee. Nothing is impossible to God, right? But everything is possible to the one that trusts God with that kind of faith. Everything is possible. Everything. It's possible. I've heard testimony of women, you know, having had their uterus removed, and I don't know what God did, but they bear a son. I've heard people, you know, speaking with a broken. I know a man. He speaks with a broken vocal cord. It's impossible. Impossible. But he does it. That kind of faith will make you walk on the water. Let's look at another one. The centurion. Matthew chapter 3, 5 and 10. We are talking about praying for revival. Do you know why worship is not good in so, when I say good, it's like it's carnal in so many churches. Thank God, I love you guys. You just do a, you know, I mean, obviously they are great musicians, but more than that, you see their hearts and they come to add. And I just love that. I love that. And, you know, you could have them doing their job here, you know, serving with their gift. And you could still have people, you know, they say, well, I don't feel like that. Or because what happened yesterday, and they can't worship. Friends, we worship with the God kind of faith. That's the kind of faith we worship with. It doesn't matter what we heard yesterday. It doesn't matter what we saw in the mirror in the morning. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. We can still worship, and that's what the Lord is saying, that He's requiring people that will be worshipers in spirit and in truth. And the kind of faith of God depends on the truth. Doesn't depend on what the five senses say. Did you find Matthew chapter 8? Praise the Lord. Verse 5-10. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and treated him, and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, sick with paralysis, terribly tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Oh, I love that Jesus. Okay, I'll come. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now, no born-again Christians should say, I'm not worthy, because we have been made worthy. He was not born again, but still he understood the concept of the God kind of faith. He said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this man, sweep the floor. And he does it. To another one, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he was amazed and said to those who followed, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith No, not in Israel. That kind of faith that does not rely on the five senses, but rely on the Word of God, that kind of faith is the God kind of faith. And a lot of people say, you know, Pastor, would you come and visit me at home? Well. Oh God. Remember that? Huh? Which kind of faith? They want to see the pastor. They want the pastor to touch. They want to hear the pastor say, no, you'll be good. You'll be good. And that man who understood command, he understood authority, was already operating in the God kind of faith. And he said, Jesus, I don't need to see you. Jesus, I don't need to hear you. I don't need to come and touch. I'm not walking by that kind of faith. I understood there is another kind of trust that operates on believing the word. And he said, because I'm a man that does understand authority, I can go with that kind of faith. Go ahead, Lord, I trust you. I trust that when you release that word of healing. And today there are people that are absolutely upset if their pastor would not even shake their hands to greet them. So if the pastor say, no, I can't come, but I send, you know, one of the elder of the church, somebody from the pastoral team, they'll they choke, fever goes up. And if the pastor say, well, none of us is available, I'll send you a mature Christian, then you get a lawyer at your door next morning. But if on the phone the pastor said, you need healing? Okay, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, you're healed. But that's what we are talking about. Who cares what your physical eye sees? Who cares if we sense somebody, something in our body or not? It's not about that. There is a higher kind of faith. Only that kind of faith is able to make the promises real, to materialize the promises of God, which means from invisible becomes visible, tangible. Let's look at another example. I love that one. Praise the Lord. And everybody's saying, oh my Lord, I hope I didn't ask for a visit from the pastor. Matthew, and of course, you know, when there are baby Christian and we take time to explain things. But when somebody has been explained and comes, you know, at one time we should stop calling you Thomas. At one time we shouldn't hear where I don't believe. Well, you know what? Good news. You can choose to change the way you believe. You can choose to believe by the God kind of faith. The faith of God. You remember that proposition with my cheese, the camembert? In Normandy, off Normandy? Yeah. Okay. Matthew 14, verse 29 and 30. Okay, now we are Peter. Peter, they got the command from the Lord, get on the other side. Or build a church. Or increase the number of employees in your business. Or make an exhibition with your art, or have another child. It's possible to have another child by faith. Okay, God bless. It's possible. Yeah, but you know, or I'm too old, or my finances. This is only five senses faith and five sense faith. That's a good one. So Peter, the disciples are in the boat and the storm comes up and it's really bad. I mean, it's so bad that these are grown up and Peter is a fisherman. So you can imagine that Peter has been in storms before, right? And at one point, Jesus comes to meet them and he's walking on the water, and all these grown up, you know, who are very machos when they are in their car and, you know, can scream to somebody who cuts them off right there in front of them and, "Whoa, you're no good, get out of my way." Well, all these men are in that boat and they are scared because they think it's a ghost. Well, their wives were not there to see them. I'm sure they didn't, you know, when they got back home that day, they didn't tell that to their wives. No bragging, no boasting about that. No. You know, from we were on a boat and we saw Jesus, that's enough. So they are in that storm and they are fearful. Jesus comes to them. And Peter, you know, he is the kind of man. We say it's like milk on, milk when you heat it up, you know, all of a sudden, clonk, goes up. And then you remove your pan from the fire and clonk, goes down. Well, Peter had that kind of temperament. Yeah. So Peter, you know, he sees Jesus, he's totally mesmerized. He said, "Lord," and he asked a very intelligent question. Everybody say, "Wow." He says, "Well, Lord, if it's you, you know, tell me to come." And Jesus said, "No, it's not me, stay in the boat." I mean, what kind of other answer could have Jesus given? So of course, you know, sometimes the way we ask questions, the Lord has no way to answer differently. So Jesus is there, Peter is there, and he said, "Lord, if it's you, order to me to come." And she said, "Well, it's me, what can I say? Come." So he said, "Come." And when Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water. Really, he walked on the word of God to go to Jesus. Peter was walking by the God kind of faith. He said, but when he saw the strong wind, I guess if he had not seen the wind, he would still be walking. Because, you know, you can walk better on the water if there is no wind. When he saw the strong wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sing, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Now, Peter started, what I want to show you here is that Peter started out to walk by that God kind of faith that do not depend on the five senses. He already was in the storm. He already had seen the high waves. He already had heard the wind. He heard his friends, you know, probably screaming, "We are going to die, we are going to die." All of a sudden, he heard a word from the master and he kicks into his God kind of faith. He starts to walk on the toward the Lord. His eyes was on the master. As long as he kept his five physical senses geared, focused on the master, he didn't even realize what he was doing. But when he switched, when he let his five senses took the predominance, taking, you know, you understand. When he let his five senses take control, dominate him, all of a sudden they awaken him to the physical reality of his world. And he switched to the God kind of faith, where with the God kind of faith, you cannot walk on the water. With the God, with the natural faith, excuse me, you cannot walk on the water. With the human faith, you cannot board an airplane that has a flat tire. With the human faith, you cannot write with a broken arm. With the human faith, you cannot sing with a broken vocal cord. With the human faith, you cannot walk when the doctors say you should not be walking, you can't walk. With the human faith, you cannot have a child if the doctor said you cannot. But with the God kind of faith, you can do that. And that defies the five senses. So Peter, all of a sudden, switch and let the five senses take control. Where the Bible say, interesting, he started to sing. Do you know, we can start a project with a God kind of faith, and in the middle of it, accept to consider what we see, what we hear. We are in the middle and we say, all of a sudden, I focus on the bank account, say, I won't have any money. And we can let our five senses take over. When we walk by faith, you understand walking by faith is not exercising our faith right after a sermon that inspired us on Sunday. It's a life of faith. Staying, you know, we our spirit is connected to God in the way that, you know, we have his nature. So yes. But what are we allowing us to control, to dominate us? But the good news is that Peter called upon the name of the Lord. He said, Lord, you know, he could have called his friends. Hey, guys, I'm sinking. No, he refocused on the Lord. That's a good thing. And second, he did so good that in the Bible, it says that Jesus didn't have even to walk toward him. Jesus just, you know, gave his hand and said, come on, Peter, and help him out again. So if you're in the project, you know, that's what Galatians say. It's possible to start in the spirit and end up in the flesh. But that life of faith, you know, we choose to stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose to stay focused on the Word, and we keep that promise in front of our eyes. I know that you had Terry Savelle here, and she is so anointed to inspire us with dreaming, daring to dream, you know, because what we don't see in the tangibly, it's still in the dream area, which is very tangible. All the promises are dreams to us. You know, but one thing she says is keep before your eyes, you know, cut pictures of the house you want to live in. If you want a new car, get a picture of it and keep it in front of your eyes and confess the word. She's so good to help us, you know, get into project like that. But we must keep our eyes on the Lord, not choose to live by faith only when the situation is rough. And then ignoring. I feel so sorry for the Christian that, you know, take church life as a leisure. Because life on this earth, on this planet, is not fair. And one of these days, they will need the God kind of faith. But if they have had a life where their senses dominate them, when it's time for them for a miracle, they will be so weak that, yes, we can always count on the prayers of others, but you know what? Nobody can pray for himself better than we can. So I want to encourage you, use the God kind of faith that God gave you. Dare to believe the promises of God, because they will come to pass. With that God kind of faith, it's unfailable. It works. So you're blessed, and I have truly, truly enjoyed being with you, Pastor Ben, and Amanda. I thank you very much for your kind invitation. It has been really an experience in God. And I truly believe that everything that you are saying that God told you is coming to pass. Amen. Blessings. The conference. All right. Pastor Amanda wants me to share about every year we have a prayer conference, and the people of God are equipped to pray by teaching and anointing as the Spirit leads, of course. But you can tell that in that prayer conference, usually around March, we are, right now we are working on it. It's very, when people come, they say, we were changed. And that's what we want. We were changed. It's not about, you know, adding more books on the shelves. It's knowing how to release the potential that is of God in us. So I invite you, it's not a prayer conference only for women. Actually, you know, women have come, and their husbands saw them changing, and I thought, oh my Lord, I better go. And pastors are coming. They are coming, you know, husbands are coming with their wives. So pastors will know about the prayer conference, and they will be able to let you know. Blessings.
Praise God.